As is ever my wont, when my wife's looking daggers at me, I'm going to ask you a question to begin with. My question is, are you free? Are you free? And I've got in brackets, really? Really? You put the first slide up for me, Dave, please. Now, this is one of the most well-known verses, John 8:36. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what we've been singing, isn't it? The basis of our songs. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And those of you that know me will know I'm fascinated with words and language. One of my things. It's just how God made me. And I thought, well, that's great. What does it mean? And as is my want, I looked it up. You know what I'm like. I like to be correct. What does indeed mean? And I found out Paul uses a Greek word. It's the only time in the gospel he uses it. 21 chapters. He only uses this word once. This is it. Indeed. Comes Greek word ontos. When I was at Clarendon, I was teaching philosophy of religion. I'm glad Derek's in because he probably might answer this. One of the things I taught was what they call the ontological argument. Do you know what that is, Derek? Talks about the being or nature of God. Comes from a guy called Anselm. He said God was that than which no greater can be. If we can think of God, he's basically saying out there. So it's about being or nature. So actually what Jesus is saying here, if the Son sets you free, you are free in your being, in your nature. Ontos, ontological. Actually, everything within you is free. What a thing. The context of the passage, and we haven't got time to go into it all, he's talking to two different groups of people, or three probably. Jewish people who don't have a clue who he is and don't believe in him. The religious people and the Jews who believe in him. This little section where this verse comes from is those that believe in him. I've read it a couple of times and I couldn't, a bit like Kate, couldn't get to sleep. I was down this morning looking at my Bible going, he didn't really say that, did he? Because it says he was talking to believing Jews and they said, what do you mean? We've got to be free. We are of our father Abraham. He said, no, it's nothing to do with that. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd know who my father was. But you lot, your father's the devil. And I went, whoa, hang on a minute. He's talking to believing Jews. That's what it says if you read the passage. But what he's saying is, you've got to believe in who I am and who sent me. So the basis of actually our faith is believing in Jesus as the Son of God and being equal with God. It's one of those things, as I often say, there are some things in Scripture you can fall out about and some things you don't fall out about. This is one of the ones you need to fall out about. Jesus is God. We can't accept him as being any lower. My rationale is always the same for this. If he's not God, I'm still in my sin and I don't particularly want to be there, really. God hasn't come down to where we are. I'm not redeemed. Does that make sense? When I sat down preparing for this, I often make notes on my phone. There's a little app that says notes, and I often make notes on my phone. And when I looked back at these notes, and it's February I made these notes, the 4th of February. So over 4 months, this has been going round in my head, whatever. And I came to the conclusion, be pleased about this next one. There's only two parts to this. You want to put the next PowerPoint up, Dave? What are we set free from? And what are we set free to? What are we set free from? And I think in my notes I put that many of us have grasped the first one pretty good. It's the second one we're not so hot on. We've grasped the first bit, what we're set free from, not the second bit. I want to talk about both. But it's important we understand. We can quote the verse, but we need to know what does it mean. If you want to put the next PowerPoint up, this is quite heavy theologically, and the words are not great or big on here. If you want to do some theological study, I recommend the book of Romans. It's quite hard going, but some magnificent truth in it. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin, breaking a command as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. I'm not sure whether the next verse goes on to the next slide. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Quite a long passage and quite difficult. But the point it's making is we are all identified with Adam. Adam is the head of mankind. We're all identified with Adam. And in that sense, we've all sinned. Because Adam sinned. That's what Scripture teaches. That's what this is about. And it's always the same sort of argument when people say, it's a bit awkward talking about hell, isn't it? Well, you can't have heaven if you don't have hell. And you can't really have salvation if you don't have sin. Sounds a bit daft, but it's how it works. We're all identified in Adam as the head. We're all identified in Christ. Paul calls him the last Adam. I think that's 1 Corinthians 15. It's probably on my notes somewhere, but it's in my head. Paul talks about Christ as the last Adam. The first man, Adam, became a living being. This Adam, a life-giving spark, Jesus became the last Adam, the last in line. We are identified with Adam and identified with Christ by faith. You want to put the next slide up? What are we set free from? Good preacher. 3 points and they all start with the same letter. That's what I learned at Bible College. Took them years to teach me that. It's great, isn't it? Didn't learn much else. It's not true. What we set free from? Well, separation. We're separated from God because of sin. Sin. We're set free from. Thank goodness we're set free from sin. As I so often say, and no problem repeating myself, past, present, and future. Nice to see you, Phil. Past, present, and future. My sins, which were many, have all been washed away. What a thing. In case you're sort of your mind's going that way, the Bible's quite hot on, you know, when they say, we're full of grace, shall we continue to sin? God says, God forbid, Paul says. No, isn't an excuse. And the last one, we're set free from self. Wow. That's a nasty one, isn't it? Self. Friend I used to work with when I was doing the missions course, Les, used to say, the unholy trinity, I, myself, and me. God gave life to mankind. He walked and talked in the garden with Adam, and then sin came in. And I was thinking about this. Well, it's just the way I speak, really. I think Adam really didn't have a great start in life after that, did he? He got unemployed, got kicked out of his home, And his first son ended up a murderer. He didn't do very well, really, did he? Got kicked out of the garden. He was told to tend the garden. That was his job. So he was unemployed. Got no, because of sin. It's actually Adam's fault that the ground doesn't produce stuff. The earth was cursed because of Adam. Here's a frightening scripture for you. The next slide, please. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. So, this sin, what does it do? It separates us from God because he's holy and we're not. That's what happened. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What a thing that is. I put down here in my notes, is anyone holy? See, I was expecting one or two reactions here, either no reaction or all the hands up. Because in Christ we're holy. That's exactly the point. We all feel condemned and we all know we make a mess of stuff, but actually in him we're accounted as holy or righteous, which means we can come near to God. We were separate, now we can come near, which is important, isn't it? Otherwise we're wasting our time. So separation, it's important that that gap has been bridged. Adam made a bit of a mess, and we're all identified in Adam, but in Christ we can come back. Sin, and I thought, we use this term so often, what's it all about? I thought, I know what I'll do. That's what the way my head works. I'll look it up in the Oxford English Dictionary. And when I went online, it says you've got to pay, and I thought, no, I won't look it up there. I don't like paying for stuff. You want to put the next PowerPoint up? It's a bit small, this. What is the definition of sin? This is a dictionary definition. It's from the Cambridge Dictionary. That's free. Way! An immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. An act regarded as a serious or regrettable fault, offence or omission. Sin. Well, we've done something wrong. Often we get an understanding. We know we've done something wrong. Sometimes we don't realise. Someone has to point it out to us. That wasn't very nice what you said there. What do you mean? Thought it was okay. So sin, in theological terms, separates us from God. In fact, that's where my mind went. I was looking. This is the dictionary definition. I thought, what's the theological definition? That's how my head works. Those of you know me, but I've got a dictionary at home. It says, a dictionary of theology, and you look up A to Z. So here's, 300 pages about this now. It has various thoughts or meanings. Missing the mark or the goal, theologically, is what it means. Breach of a relationship. Perversion, rebellion. And here's the quote. Yet the common theme of every biblical expression of the nature of sin is the central idea that sin is a state of not being, of our being, that separates us from the holy God. Sin separates us from God. So if it's not dealt with, we can't get back to God. That's what the Bible teaches. So common ideas Scripture has, you may be familiar with these. A debt that must be paid. I don't know if it's the old hymn, I often think in hymns. He paid a debt he did not owe. That's why it's important Jesus is God, because God himself came down and dealt with it. We weren't good enough. The line elsewhere, doesn't it? Same hymn or different hymn. Was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. A legal transaction that requires redress, brackets I've got, payment. You look up Scripture, behind it is the idea of legally paying something off. Legal requirement. You look at the book of Revelation, it even sets the idea of Satan against God in a legal setting. the accuser of the brethren. You lot, you've done this. Then the defense comes up and Jesus just goes, paid in full. Paid in full. It's important, isn't it? Talking about this to Derek the other day. We do like our very short conversations, Derek. Propitiation. Do you remember we're talking about it? Big word. The turning away of anger by the offering of a gift. God wasn't very happy that man had committed son. It says he looked on the world, was not happy. And in a sense, God still said, okay, I'm going to sort it out, but I still require payment. I still want it dealt with. Not enough. Somebody's got to deal with it. And in a sense, looked round and went, there ain't anybody. It'll have to be me. God had to come and deal with it himself. So those concepts are all about sin. And what about the ugly beast called self? Oh, dear. If you want to put the next slide up, Dave, please. This is Romans 7, Paul talking. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have this battle going on. We want to do good, and then a bit of us rises up and goes, no, you don't want to do that. Just please yourself. You'll be all right. Nobody knows. I had an interesting conversation yesterday. I went over to Kids Grove where my sons live. A nightmare journey on the train, which decided it didn't want to run because somebody was on the track. And my poor son, I phoned him and said, yeah, you meet me in Kids Grove. I'm now going to Stoke. 20 minutes late. I'm now in Congleton. I'm not going to Stoke. Bless him. He drove to Kids Grove, Stoke, and then Daniel picked me up at Congleton and we went for lunch. He insisted on paying. He said, it's Father's Day. I always find Father's Day a pain. It always comes near my birthday. Someone gets missed out. But self, our nature contains within it the seeds of rebellion. We can be self-centered. Very much so. Basically, most of us want to do what we want to do. In a sense, we elevate ourselves to be God. We want to make the decisions and we want to be in control. We're the most important person in that equation. It's all about me, isn't it, really? I'm more important than you. Self. Basically, we have this inner conflict going on. What we want to do. As we progress and look at what we've escaped from and to, God has given us the ability to overrule self through the Holy Spirit. I always find this fascinating when you think about it logically. I haven't got the answer to some of this. And so I think, I wish in a sense Jesus had come to England instead of Israel. And then you think, I wish he hadn't gone. And then when I've worked out, it suddenly dawns on me, if he didn't go, we couldn't be where he is. Because physically he can only be in one place at one time. So he gave us the Spirit who can be everywhere at once. If I do not go away, he cannot come. But when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will make known what is mine. He will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit. Back in the day, they used to use phrases like the counselor, the advocate, the paraclete. Looking at Eddie, you might be familiar with that. I think it's an AV term. Comes from two Greek terms, para, meaning alongside, and kaleo, to call out. He's called alongside us. The Holy Spirit comes to help us say no to self. So in a sense, we can't use the get out of clause. I can't help myself anymore. Sorry, run that by me again, Mark. We're supernatural. The Spirit in us lives that can help us to say no. Not all the time. because we trip up. But thankfully, God says, it's okay. I've sorted you out. What are we set free to? That's what we're set free from. Separation from God, sin and self. What are we set free to? Next slide, please, Dave. You all know this verse. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, but they have it more abundantly. Jesus is talking about Satan. He says, I am the gate, I am the doorway to the sheep, I am the shepherd. He's coming to take them, to kill them, to eat them, to destroy them. I have come you might have life, and the context of this verse is talking about leading you into pasture, because he's the shepherd, into a good place. But that verse, more abundantly. We should have sang thrive, really. We were made to do more than just survive. Are you surviving or are you living? Have you been set free and you sat there going, I've got a ticket to heaven, I'm all right, I'm sorted. Got to be a bit more than that. Be a bit more than that. Abundant life. Scripture I preached on many years ago, I'd never heard anyone else preach on it because I'm always odd. I'm a bit like that. It says in Hebrews, Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above his fellow men. If you're happy and you know it, there's a book written by the guy who launched the Gospel and Businessmen's Fellowship called The Happiest People on Earth. Should be us. Should be us. I'm going to start singing, I've got joy in my heart then. I thought, oh no, I better not go there. But have we? Are we just surviving? Oh, you know. We need to be different in the way we live. John, the Gospel of John, is full of abundance. It's based around the seven I ams in John. It's all based around seven signs, the Greek word semion, sign. The first sign Jesus began was the sign at Cana, and he turned water into wine. I think it was 12 jars. Have I got somewhere? No. Oh, six huge jars. Six huge jars of water into wine. Feeding of the 5,000, 12 baskets of fragments of bread left over. Mary and Martha, Mary poured perfume on his feet, a pound's worth. Very expensive. And they all said, she's wasting that. No, no, she's not. Extravagance in John. Catch of 153 large fish. John's always talking about extravagance. We have abundant or extravagant life. I love the translation of the verse in 1 John. I think it's the Good News, but I might be wrong. See how much love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called sons of God. And that is what we are. He's lavished his love upon us. He's not been skimping on stuff. And our lives should reflect that. Because our salvation is secure. Okay, I gave you 3 points on what we've been set free from, what we've been set free to. Here we go. To be creative, courageous, and caring. See, I'm good at it. It's 3 and 3. To be creative. If you read the book of Genesis, first book of the Old Testament, first book of the Bible. Said it before, the books are named after what they talk about. Genesis is about origins or beginnings. What we learn about in the early chapters, as early as chapter 1, God creates the earth out of nothing. When I was doing invigilation at Tommy Moore for the exams, I often was thinking, I wonder what their theology paper's like, and I'd look at it. One of the questions they ask is, what does ex nihilo mean? The Latin, created the world out of nothing. The Big Bang Theory, it's a nice argument. Ask them where the matter came from. But we won't go down there. But basically, God is creative. One of the first things we learn about. How many of you believe we're made in God's image? We're made to be creative. Hold on to your seats, because I might upset some people now. I'm good at that. Did you realise, although we're all made the same, we're dealt with differently and have different gifts and skills? God has made you to be creative in the way he understands your personality and how you work. For you being creative made it maybe different to somebody else. I've said it before, I'll repeat myself. Unity is not uniformity. Express ourselves differently, go in the same direction. How creative are you? Because God's creative. Incidentally, one of the other things we learn, which I'm really grateful about, one of the first things we learn about God is he speaks. God said, let there be, and there was. Thank goodness he speaks. If you're listening, you can hear him. He that has ears to hear. So we need to be creative, don't we? Talking about Sue, where's she gone? Talking about Barry Woodward coming. We need to be creative how we talk to people. Not frighten them off. Oh, have you read John 3:16? Do you know you're going to hell? It's a real good thing, that. Talk like that. I'm sure that'll influence people. Your life. I had a great conversation Sunday with my sons. I can't remember how we got into it. And Daniel said to me, what are you doing tomorrow? So I said, I'm at church and preaching. What are you preaching on? Good chance to get into stuff. And I talked about when I was at the hospital the other day, there was a guy sat about three seats away from me on his phone. It was mate. It was a scouser, that didn't help him with me. But and he's saying, you keep sending me these texts that I'm not happy with these texts, and you know I'm a Christian, and you know I'm a Christian. Anyway, if you send me this stuff again, I'm not going to speak to you. And I'm like, what? What sort of example is that? Room full of people, I can hear him on his phone. And I'm like, oh no, that isn't the way to be an example. How are you? And people are about. How creative are you in showing people the gospel? It's what I quoted to Daniel yesterday when he was asking me. I said, some people don't read it. We are. We're the Bible. Paul says we are living epistles known and read of all men. How creative are you? How much does what you don't say influence people as much as what you do say? It's great, isn't it? When somebody gives you that opening, you've been very quiet, are you thinking about something? It's a nice opening. Courageous. We need to be courageous, don't we? I think so. We learn about the book of Genesis, we've looked at that. What? Courageous. God said to Joshua, what did we used to sing? Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Here's an interesting one for you. We all build these figures up in the Bible, don't we? These great men and women of God. Joshua was a little bit nervous about how he was going to do. I'm not Moses, what am I going to do? Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong, be courageous. What a thing to challenge. How bold are you in your faith? How bold are you with people? I mean, this morning Sue says, anyone got any to share? Some of us shrinking like this, aren't we? Going, ooh, not me. Oh, I could never pray for him. Yeah, probably better off not doing it on your own anyway. Better off asking God to help you. If you're going to share stuff with me and it's just you, don't bother. I'd like to hear God, really. Don't get offended by that, but I'm saying the Spirit, the Holy Spirit needs to help us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So being courageous, it might mean sharing something, you've been thinking about something and God's given you a word for someone. I often say it's the way it works for me, now it might not be the way for you. I can feel sometimes, if I've got faith and I'm here, I can think to myself, by the time I get to Lisa, God will give me something. I already know I should pray for her. I don't know what I've got to say. Or in other times, you may have a word immediately for someone. Can I say, and I'm sure you know this, but I'll tell you, you don't need to be up the front to share a word with someone. If you see me occasionally sliding up to someone, it's because I feel I've got something to share with them, and I'll share it with them. And again, please hear this correctly. You're responsible for weighing it up and testing whether you feel that's what God's saying to you. Just because I share it with you doesn't make it right. Test and try the spirits, Scripture says. I'm one of those. I get a bit bold as I've learned over years. I used to pray for people and then walk away. Now I pray and say, does it mean anything to you? Is that right? But learn. Express your faith. Be courageous. Be caring. You want to put the next verses up? Next slide, please. Without faith, that's the one about being courageous. It's impossible to please God. Mark spoke ages ago. We've all been given a measure of faith. Not how big yours is, and how big, but we've all got some faith. Start there. God will add to it. And again, put yourself in the position where you're saying, God, it's all about you. I remember being put off when I was at Bible college. They sent us out often on what they call mission. Went various places, ended up somewhere. Where did I end up? I can't remember now. It's that long ago. But we went to a healing crusade where it was advertised. I won't give the name. So-and-so will be there to heal you. And I thought, no, he won't. God might be there, but he's not going to heal anyone, that guy. I'm not very impressed with people who promote themselves. I've said it before, I am of John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. If Jed's lifted up, not much is going to happen. So it's important, he's got to get the credit. Without faith, let God move you. If you do it in your own strength, be lucky. Next one, please. Matthew. This is the basis of CAP, really, Lisa, isn't it? Matthew 25. For those listening by audio, I better read it. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Mark mentioned this scripture a week or two ago, Ephesians 2:10. God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. If you want some hints, here they are. If you want to know. Hungry and thirsty. I can't remember, I think it was a while ago, Sue and I went up, I think we're probably staying at Brick House. We went on the beach to Cleveland's, and as we were walking in the shopping area, there's a guy sat out the road looking for money. And I went into a shop opposite and I bought something like two sausage rolls or whatever and came out and said, yeah, I've bought you this. He said, I'm all right, mate, thanks. And I thought, right, okay. I'm not going to give him money, but I'll give him food. I've had quite a few experiences like that. I met a guy on the street years back who was asking for money. I brought him home, gave him stuff to eat. And he said, nobody's ever done that before. I said, I'm not going to give you money. How about I give you something to eat? And in my youthfulness and idiocy, probably, when I was first married and pastoring a church, we invited a guy to live with us who was in recovery, a guy ex-alcoholic, stayed with us for about 6 months. Lovely guy from Durham, used to be a miner. But then my wife's engagement ring disappeared, and it's like, oh, it's a bit iffy. Poor guy obviously didn't make it, but Inviting strangers in. Interesting one. The homeless. Did I see Viv somewhere before? The homeless. Need help, don't they? All sorts of stuff if you want some hints. Clothing. All sorts of stuff. In fact, I've got down here, I think it's where I'm finishing. When I was at Bible College, I went to Bible College in 1979. Wow. Looking back in time here, aren't we? We used to go out at weekends. You'd go out. You'd probably stay somewhere for a weekend. You'd preach at a church, come back. And late Sunday evening, we'd come in. And I think we came in about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. As we came in, you used to have dorms in separate rooms. This guy slept in a dorm. And as he went to the wardrobe, he said, "One of my jumpers has gone. What's happened to it?" And he turns around, there's an African guy in bed with his jumper on. And he says, "What have you done?" So the law says, if you have two coats and your brother's in need, give him one. He said, "And it was cold, so I put yours on." Very literal interpretation, but that's what Scripture says. This is it, Luke 3:11. Sorry, next one, Dave. He answered and said unto them, "He that has two coats, let me impart to him that hath none. He hath meat, let him do likewise." So often, we've got all sorts of stuff we don't use. Maybe somebody else needs it. Maybe somebody else needs it. Daft illustration, but I'm thinking, yeah, he was literal. "You've got two jumpers. I was cold. I took one. What's the problem? What's your problem?" The guy was like stunned. He didn't know what to say. I'll finish there. Time is running. But we're set free from separation, sin and self. We're set free to be creative, to be courageous, and to be caring. See, self then has been defeated. We're thinking about other people, aren't we? It's not about me anymore. What about other people? What can I do to help them? How can I show the gospel to them by helping them? It's interesting. Where's she gone? Is Beth still in? She's gone out. This is what mine says. "Man of God, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love." I don't know whether God can speak to you through your own sermon, but I think he is. Thank you for listening.